The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parasha is Emor El HaKohanim. Ayim HaShem El Meshe, Emor El HaKohanim B'nei Arim, V'amata Aleim L'Nefesh L'Yitava Ba'amo. HaShem said to Meshe, say to the Kohanim, to the sons of Aaron. Then the Torah starts to instruct the Kohanim, the priests, with various laws. Now this parasha, the majority of the mitzvahs, deal with the Kohanim. And in general, this whole Sefer Vayikra is called Teres Kohanim, because the majority of the mitzvahs deal with those of the Kohanim. Generally, we're accustomed to think is the Kohanim are Anshei Kodesh. They are people of a special sanctity. Iskatshu b'kdushi yisera. They are people of a special sanctity that were given a higher elevation than the rest of the nation. And they were given extra mitzvahs, and this is true. They were given special mitzvahs on who to marry and who not to marry, special mitzvahs in regards to Tumah Vatara, purity, in order that they could serve Lavid es Hashem, the Shoris es Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. So generally we picture the Kohanim as a special segment of the nation, separate and elevated from the rest of the nation with a Kedusha Yisrael, a special sanctity. Now, then is naturally a great amount of truth in this. They were given mitzvahs Yisraelus Nitzavu Behem. They were given extra mitzvahs and extra Kedusha. However, that is not the essence of the Kohanim, of the priests. To the contrary, they were very much involved in the life, everyday life of the nation, and they were very, very close to the people. An example of this is the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis tells us near the end of Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Beis, Hillel v'Shammai kiblu behem. Hillel Eimer, Hillel said, Hevi mitalmidov shel Aaron. A person should make himself a disciple of Aaron. Ayiv Sholem, Bereiv Sholem. You shall love peace, you shall pursue peace. Ayiv es Habriyais, you shall have love for the people. Umekarven Later, and you shall bring them close to Torah. This was the quality of the cornerstone of all of the Kohanim, which was Aaron HaKohen, B'nei Aaron. Where do we see this in the Torah? So the Chazal tell us at the end of the Sefer Torah, when Meisha dies, this is in Zeis HaBrocho Lamed Dalet Ches, it states, Vayivku b'nei Yisrael es Meisha, be'arav ismeyav shleishim yoim. The children of Israel wept for Meisha in the plains of Meir for 30 days. In Parshas Chukos, when Aaron dies, and this is in Parshas, in Perek Chof, Bamidbar Chof, Posuk Chof Tes, it states, Vayiru kola eido ki gova Aaron, and all the nations saw that Aaron died, Vayivku es Aaron shleishim yoim kol beis Yisrael. And they wept for Aaron, all of the house of Israel. But Moshe doesn't say all of the house of Israel. It merely says, Vayivku beis Yisrael, the house of Israel. By Aaron it says that all of the house of Israel wept for Aaron. What's the difference? Why does it say all? So Rashi brings in Zeis HaBrocho, by Moshe Azachorim, the males wept. Aval ba'aran mitek shol yaredif sholem. But by Aaron, who pursued peace, when they said sholem, bein ish l'reihu, And he was so involved with the nation that he used to bring peace between man and his fellow man, or between Isha Labailo, and between a woman and her husband. Ne'amar kol Beish Yisrael. It states the entire house of Israel, Zechorim v'nekevos, male and female. The men and the women, without exception, all wept when Aaron died. In the Ovis de Mnoshim, which is a medrash on Masechta Ovis, Perek Yud Beis, goes to great length. And it dwells in the Posuk, which is right near the end of the Tanakh, Malachi Beis. Malachi Beis, Posuk Hei, Brisi Hoiso Itoi, Hachaim Vahasholom. Now, excuse me, Vov, Posuk Vov, Teres Emes Hoiso Befiho, the Avla Lenimza Bisfosov. Says the Torah of truth was on his mouth, and there was no distortion or crookedness in his lips. Bisholom Ubimishor Holach Iti. He went with me with peace and uprightness. Verabim Heshiv Me Ovein. And many he kept away from Aveira. This refers to Aaron HaKohen. He walked with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, with peace and with uprightness, and many he kept from sin. This refers to Aaron HaKohen. Now the Medrash Ovis de Reb Noson says, for example, what does it mean, Oev Shalem, that you shall love peace? A man should love peace in Israel like Aaron did. What did he do? And Rabbi Meheshi Me'oven, and he should keep people from sin. Mekarev and Lecheirev, bring them close to Torah. What did he do? When Aaron would be walking along and he would see an Odom Rosho, see a man that was not a good person, a wicked person, he'd go out of his way, v'nosan le'sholem. He would go out of his way to give him sholem. And a good sholem aleichem. See, not merely sholem. He would go over to him, he would talk to him, extend him sholem, and show him a good face. The mocha, on the next day, when that man would want to do an aveira, so he would say, oi, he says, the fact that Aaron HaKohen, Cain Godel, came to me, and he was so good to me, and he gave me shalom, so he must have thought that I'm a righteous person, I'm a very good person. How can I go do this aveira? He says, I'm ashamed that Aaron, after giving me shalom, I'm going to go do an aveira. Therefore, he was menea atzmai me aveira. He kept himself from doing what was wrong. Even though generally we don't give shalom to people who are ashoim, who are wicked. So the Meforish, the Binyan Yeshua brings, but to keep people from Aveira, or to bring them close to Torah, or mipnei darkei shalom, because of ways of peace, you're allowed to. And this is what Aaron would do. Now we must remember, Aaron was a Kohen. Not only was he a Kohen, he was the Kohen Godel, he was the high priest. This is what he would do, in order to bring people close to Torah. Two people that would have a fight, and Aaron would see it. What would he do? This is very important, what we're learning today, because today we live in a world of machlekes, a world of strife. And not only the entire world, where some write that there have been more wars in the last 100 years. Then history can record, and history can remember. And constantly this political strife, all countries. And we have our problems here, like in all countries. But, unfortunately, even in the Jewish community, throughout the world, we live in strife, in machlekes. And at all levels. at communal levels, at individual levels, marriages between people, and so forth. So this is something which is very, very important. And the religious community is no exception to this. We constantly read calls in the papers that we have to learn to get along with people. Organizations must not fight. People must not fight. There's some people who think that Machlekes is the greatest mitzvah. So let's learn from Aaron HaKohen. When he would see two people fighting, Aaron would go and sit down next to one of them. And he would tell him, he would say, Bini, my son, he said, I saw your friend the other day, and you know, your friend, he's so upset. He is so upset with himself. And he's renting his garments. And he is saying, how wrong I did yesterday that I insulted so-and-so. And he would keep telling him this until that person said, does he really feel like that? And is he really so upset? Then, Helech Aaron v'yeshev etzel acher. Aaron would go to the next one, to the other one, and he would tell him the same thing. The next day, these two people would meet, they would shake hands, they would hug, and they would make up. This is what is meant by Yifkas Aaron Shleshim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael. This is what is meant, that there was no one that didn't weep for Aaron. He had such an effect on the people of the entire house of Israel. Then the Medrash continues. Why did they weep, all of Israel, for Aaron, men and women? Because he, whenever there was a dispute that came to him between two men or between a man and a woman, he never told them, you did wrong and you're right, or you're right and you're wrong. He never said that. He would never tell any of them that you're wrong. But he would work out a settlement between the two of them. And he would tell both of them, you're both right. And they would go away peacefully. But Meisha, who was the Isha Lakim, he would go with Dean. He would tell them exactly the way it was. This man is right and you're wrong. What you did was wrong and you're not allowed to do it. So therefore by Meisha it states Vayivku as Beis Yisrael, but by Aaron it states, or Bnei Yisrael, but by Aaron it states Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel. Also it states there were many thousands of children, Kama Alofim Hoyu Yisrael, many thousands of children whose names were Aaron. Because he made so much peace between man and his wife, he saved so many marriages that when they came back together and they had a child, in gratitude they named this child Aaron. So there were kamalofim, there were many thousands of children in Israel which were called Aaron. Then the Ovester of Nosson continues. He was Eiv Shalom V'Reidiv Shalom. He would pursue Shalom. What does this mean? This means that it's not enough to do peace when it comes your way. Halavai, we should do that. So whenever we have the opportunity to make some peace, that's not enough. It says that when peace comes, you, when there's an opportunity to make peace, then you must make peace. But that's not enough. You must pursue it. You must go out of your way to do it. And it brings me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Almighty, the Medrash tells us, He's Bakei Sholem V'Ratfehu. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eish Sholem B'Morim. What does He do? He never, when He named His angels, He never gave the same angels one name. He didn't call many of them Gabriel, and He didn't call many of them Michael, and He didn't call many of them Ariel or Raphael. Like people. People, there are many people that have the name Reuben, many Shimon, and so forth. He gave only one angel one name. Why did He do this? Because He didn't want that when He would call Gabriel, many would come. Or when He would call Raphael, many would come. Why not? Because if many would come, and He would say, no, you're the one that I want. I don't want the others. And then He would start talking to that one. And He would tell that one certain things. And the other one would be listening. And the other one would start thinking, but why is Hashem telling this one to do that, or this one to do this, when He sends this one off on a shlichus for a certain task? Why does He send him and not me? And it would bring machlekes. It brings jealousy and it brings machlekes. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that when He would call an angel, only one would come. So therefore, He named each one by an exclusive name. Only one did He call Gabriel, and only one did He call Raphael. Because if there are several coming, when I speak to one, and the other overhears, and then he'll start thinking, but why am I giving this task or this mitzvah or this to do to this one and not to me? Machlekes will come from it. This is how careful HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that there shouldn't be machlekes. And then it states, because of this, there was always great love between the angels. As it states, U'mechabdim zeh zeh. We say in the davening that each one gives permission to the other one to say the shira, to sing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one is chelik kavod, he gives honor to the other one and he lets him go first. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And so therefore we must learn from this. So af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this. Then the Medrash tells us further. The Medrash says, we should learn that we should avas abrias, have a great love for the people. Shekein matzino banshei dor aflogo. In the generation that lived when they wanted to build the tower and they wanted to rebel against Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispersed them over the entire land, because there was unity between them. There was great unity between them. This was a problem. There was universal unity. And because of that, they all got together. And universally, they wanted to go up against Hashem. But because there was this great unity between them, and they learned how to live together. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy them. He merely dispersed them in the four corners of the earth. But the people of Sdom, that they hated each other. They hurt each other. They stole from each other. They hated each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu avdon min ha'elam hazeh u'min ha'elam abo. He's destroyed them from this world and he destroyed them from the next world totally. So here you had, these were both cases of Rishoyim, of wicked people. But because there was unity amongst them, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy them. And then it states, Makarvan Lethera, that Aaron always would bring people close to Torah. And this, it states, we learn from Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, both of them, always went out It states as a nefesh asher osu bechoron, that the people that they created in Choron. So the Medrash asks, what does it mean that they created? It states that halei kol baya elam einam yochelim livrois afilu yitei shechot. If all of the wise people in the world would get together, even one fly, they could not create. So what does it mean, as a nefesh asher osu bechoron, that they created people in Choron? Here, we learn that they brought him to Torah. And when you bring someone to Torah, it says, if you create them. And this is what Aaron did. The Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush, in his commentary on this Mishnah, says as follows. Baki Sholem Verot Fehu. This is what Rabbi Kiva said, we after Reacha Kamecho, that you shall love your fellow man. The Torah says you shall love your fellow man like yourself. Zeklau Godel Beteira. This is the greatest principle in the Torah. Then it states, Rotfehu, that you should pursue peace. What does it mean you should pursue peace? It's not enough to make peace. You have to pursue it. Kemesha Kosov, B'meisha Rabbeinu, like we see for Meisha, Vayelech El Dosen Vaviron. The Omron, the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, Mikan Shein Maxikin Mamachlekes. Dosen Vaviron went up against Meisha Rabbeinu. They wanted to overthrow his authority, they wanted to dethrone him. They broke out a great strife. Then it states, Vayelech Meisha El Dosen Vaviron. Meisha went to them. Why did Meisha go to them? Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Ibotl, stay away from them. I will destroy them. It states, Vayelech Meisha El Dosen Vaviron. What did Meisha go to them for? Because Virat Fehu. It's not enough that if they come, you must make peace. But the Rot Pehu, you must pursue it. You must pursue it. And from here the Gemara learns, a machzikin b'machlekes, you must not hold on to quarrel, but you must take the initiative to go out of your way to resolve it. And then he brings from also Vayishlach Malochim El Sichain, Afal Bish Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lilochim Imai. When Meisha came to Sichain, Melech Emeri, this was one of the nations, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fight with them. First, Meisha sent out messengers to ask for a peaceful settlement. So this is the Bakei Sholem Verot Fehu. So we see that the Kahanim were not people aloof from the nation. You can't do this if you're aloof from the nation. You can't do this if you sit in a corner. But they were people very much involved in the nation, very close to the people, in order to settle their affairs. And they were even close to the Machlekes and to the Rishoyim to bring them close to Torah. Now, who said this statement? This statement in Masechta Oves, Hevi Mitalmidov, Shel Aaron Akein, that you shall be from the disciples of Aaron. Who says this? This was Hillel. Hillel said this. Hillel was one of the greatest Tanoim, rabbis of the Mishnah that we had. Shmeinim Talmidim, Hoya Lehillel Azokei. He was a Nossi, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, and he had 80 great disciples. Now, he didn't instruct the Kahanim. Listen, he himself was not a Kain. He instructed all of Israel. So this is a capability for all of Israel. And this is an obligation for all of Israel, not only the Kahanim, to be from the disciples of Aaron. Accordingly, Hillel also taught us. Hillel said, also in Masechta Avos, in Perek Beis Mishneh Hei, Hillel Eimer Al Tifresh Min HaTzibur. A person should not separate himself from the other people. He should not hold himself aloof, and he should not bring himself to the side. In addition, Hillel said, Ve'al Todin Es Chavercho Ad Shatagia Limkemei. Never judge your fellow man until you are in a similar situation. Many times we're quick to criticize, many times we're quick to condemn. We are not thoughtful of other people in their situations. We are not tolerant to their situations. And that Hillel says, no. He says, Al todin es chavercho ad shetagi limkemei. Never judge your fellow man until you're in a similar situation. When you're in such a similar situation, then you'll know why he reacted accordingly, or why he did what he did do. Now, in this vein, there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. We spoke on this subject, Shabbos in the Yeshiva. And we brought this Gemara. I would like to repeat it and say over some of the things that we said on Shabbos and add a few more. The Gemara brings in Perek Balam Alikin and Daf Lamed Omed Beis and Lamed Aleph Tona Rabbonin. The rabbis taught, a person should always be humble like Hillel, but captain. And he shouldn't be a captain kishamai. A captain is someone who's very rigid, who's very strict, who's very disciplined, very unbending. And an olav is someone who's very tolerant, very flexible, a sablin. He has a great deal of patience. He's not rigid. Hillel was an onif. He was a sablin. He was easygoing, tolerant, flexible, not rigid. Shammai was not that way. So the Gemara tells us that you should always be a onif like Hillel and not a captain kishamai. Now, this doesn't mean to say that Shammai was, heaven forbid, a bad person. Shammai was his greatest hill. In many cases, he was greater. But he was very demanding and very strict. He aimed for perfection. He demanded perfection from himself and perfection from others. This he didn't do merely because this was his nature or his reactions. This is what he did intentionally because he held this is how a Jew should be. He went with Midas Adin. And to give you an example that Shammai was not like this, because in the Mishnah Novus, in another Mishnah Novus, this is in Tesvov, in Perek Aleph Mishnah Tesvov, there Shammai taught, Shammai said like this, Asi terosk kva umalachtuch aroi. Your Torah learning should be, this should be the main part of your life, and the work should be the secondary. Emma me'at v'yaseh harbe. He said, don't talk too much. Say a little. Do more. A Jew should always do more than he says. The heavy mekabel is kolod m'sever upon him office. And receive every person with a good face. Every person that comes to you, give them a smile. See? Give them a welcome. Every Kabbalist, call all the Messiah upon your face. This was Hillel. So, excuse me, this was Shammai. So, we must not think that we're talking here that Hillel was a great tzaddik and Shammai wasn't. Heaven forbid. They were both from the two leaders of one of the greatest generations in Klal Yisrael. Except still the Gemara says that we are obligated to follow in Hillel's ways. Now we'll explain this a little more. But what happens? The Gemara brings. The Gemara brings four cases. It says, Maisa Mishnei B'nei Odom. First there was a case of two people. They made a deal between themselves. And they said that whoever can go and make Hillel angry, because he never got angry, Yitl Dalin Meazuz. So the other one will give 400 Jews, which was a great amount of money. So one said, all right, I will do it. That day was Erev Shabbos, and Hillel was bathing. He went and passed by his house, and he said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Does Hillel live here? Misatev. So Hillel put on his robe. He went out, and he said, Bini Matam Avakish. My son, what do you want? He says, She'ela Yeshli Lishu. I have a question to ask. Sha'al Bini Sha'al. He says, ask, my son, ask. Mipnei Maro Shehen Shabavloim Sigal Gules. The heads of the Bavloim were not so perfect. They were not a perfect shape. He asked, why is it? So he said, She'ela Gedeilo Sha'alto. This is a very good question that you ask, that you're asking. Mipnei Shein Lehem Chayas Pikoches. He says, the reason is because they do not have Chayas Pikoches. The midwives are not good midwives. The midwives never learned the art of delivering babies properly, and therefore usually the heads are squeezed a little out of shape. All right, he went away. Himtin Shoachas, he waited a little while, and then he came back. And again he said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel Hill here? Again Hillel put on his robe and he came out. Again he said, I have a question to ask. Why are the eyes of the Tamidui in Trutes? There was a certain nation, and their eyes were... There was a certain nation, and their eyes were... the eyelids were slanted. Why? So he said, this is a great question. He said, because Mipnei Shedorin Ben Achilles. They live in sandy areas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their eyes this way in order to protect their eyes. He made their eyelids this way in order to protect their eyes from the sand. He went away, and he came back later. Again he said, is Mikan Hillel, does Hillel live here? Hillel again put on his robe. He says, again I have a question. Mipnei Mar Agleim Shel Afrikayim Rechoves. Why are the feet of the Africans so wide? He said, this is a great question. And the answer is because they live in Bitzei Hamayim. They live in very moist areas, swampy areas. And Rashi brings two interpretations. Either because in order they can, a wide foot can walk better on such ground, or because of this they go barefoot and the foot widens. Then he said, I have many questions to ask, but I'm afraid that if I'll ask them, Hillel will become angry. So he said, don't worry. He sat down and he says, any question you have, ask me. Then he says, Ato Hillel Shekeri Neshanos Yisrael? Are you the Hillel which they call the Prince of Israel? He said, yes. So he says, Lo Yirba Kemeska B'Yisrael. He says, there shouldn't be more of you. He says, Beni, my son, why are you saying that to me? He says, because you caused me to lose 400 Jews. You caused me to lose my bet. So he said, it's better that you should lose 400 Jews and Hillel shouldn't become angry. Then the Gemara brings other cases. It brings three cases of somebody coming, of a non-Jew, a non-Jew coming to Shammai. And he said, how many Torahs are there in the Torah? And he answers, two, the written law and the oral law. So he said, the written law I believe in, the oral law I do not believe in. Be Megayer me. I want to convert me. on the condition that I'll accept the written law but not the oral law. So Shammai drove him out. He came to Hillel. Hillel said, yes, I'll be Magai. Come and learn with me. So that day he taught him Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Then he said, come back the next day, we'll learn some more. The next day he reversed the order. The Aleph, he said, was a Beis, and the Beis, he said, was a Gimel, and so forth. So this person asked Hillel, he says, but yesterday you told me differently. He says, but how do you know yesterday I was telling you the truth? Maybe today I'm telling you the truth. You're telling me that this is the Aleph and this is the Beis. Why? Because I told you. Maybe I lied to you yesterday. Maybe the Aleph is really the Beis and the Beis is really the Gimel. So he said, the answer is evidently you rely on me for the truth. So then rely also on me, that the oral law is also true. And eventually, he believed in everything, and he was Megaya. Shuv Maisa, another case. A non-Jew came to Shammai, and he said, teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. And then I'll become a ger. So Shammai took a measure, a ruler, and he drove him out. He came to Hillel, and Hillel said, all right, I'll teach you the entire Torah while you stand on one foot. Da'alech sani lechavrech leisavit. Whatever is hated to you, do not do it to your fellow man. Only do to your fellow man what you want people to do to you. But something that you do not want people to do to you, then don't do it to your fellow man. You don't want people to steal from you, don't steal from others. You don't want people to talk to you in this manner, then don't talk to others that way. The rest, he says, and this is Kol HaTorah, Zui Kol HaTorah Kula. This is the entire Torah. Idoch Perushahu. The rest is commentary. Zil Gemara, go learn it. So this was the second case. Then a third case, Shuv Maisa Ben Ochri Echad. Another case was a non-Jew. That he heard about the great glory of the high priest. So he came to Shammai and he said, I want to become a ger, convert me, on the condition that I'll become a high priest. So Shammai took the ruler and he drove him out. He came to Hillel, said the same thing. So Hillel said, nobody can become a king without studying about what is required from a king. First we'll study. She started to teach him. One day, he comes to the posuk, Ba'azora korev yumas, that the stranger that will come close to the mikdosh will die. And he said, this refers to every Jew, and even to David Melech Israel, even to King David. So if this refers to every Jew, and even a king, so I, who is a ger, a convert, how much more so? He came to Hillel and he told Hillel what he learned, and he said, you because of your humility and because of your patience, he kratoni tachas kanfi ashchina, you brought me close to Shchina. Then states leyomim nizdavgu shleishten l'mokam echad. Later in time, these three people all happened to come together. And they said, Omru, Kapdunais, Kapdunusai, Shal Shammai, Bikshu, Letoradnu, Mina Elam. The strictness and the rigidity, the rigidness of Shammai almost drove us from the world. But in Vasanusa Shel Hillo Korvenu Tachas Kanfi Ashkina. But the humility and patience of Hillo and tolerance of Hillo brought us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Gemara. Now this Gemara, let's just spend a minute or two analyzing it. These people that were coming did many averes. They did many things wrong. They did many indiscretions. First of all, They came to Hillel with a lack of the respect that's due to any individual, and certainly due to a Talmud Chacham, and certainly due to the Nasi of Israel. So they came with the greatest respect. And that's a Novan Gondel. That's a great Avera. You got simple people. And yet, for their own benefit, they want to make money out of it. And they come to Hillel with such lack of respect. Me can Hillel. Does Hillel live here? They were boors. Secondly, they came with nonsense. You're not supposed to impose yourself on anyone. You're not allowed to impose yourself on another person. You're not allowed to impose yourself on the time of another person. Gezel's man is also gezel, to steal time from a person, to steal energy from a person. That's an avera. You come with total nonsense, and you take, and especially if it's a Talmud Chacham, you're taking away time that he can be studying Torah. Or especially if it's a Nosi, someone who's involved in public life. You take Lahavdil. You don't go to a prime minister or a president and you talk nonsense with him when you know he has so many important affairs of the state to take care of, and so many people are dependent on him. Well, this was Hillel. Thirdly, you're not allowed to come to someone Erev Shabbos with something that is not Letzerech Hashor or Letzerech Shabbos, with something that is not, should not be, something that does not have to be taken care of now, or it's necessary for Shabbos. It's a great imposition. People are busy on Shabbos. They're busy getting ready for Shabbos. They're busy bathing. They're busy cooking. So not only is it a great imposition on them, but you mevatel them letzorchei Shabbos. You make them late for Shabbos. So you don't come Erev Shabbos in the afternoon to someone, and unless it's something which has to be done now or is necessary for Shabbos, this is a great indiscretion. This is a great selfishness. Yet here they come. Three times yet. Well, Hillel's bathing, Erev Shabbos. The same thing with the Gerim, with those people that were coming as a ger. The halacha is that when a convert comes, or a prospective convert comes, and he says, "Be megayer me, and I'll accept all of the Torah except one halacha, one law I don't want to accept," the halacha is we don't accept him. We reject him. Here you got this fellow's coming along and he's saying, "I'll accept all of the Torah, the written law, but not the oral law." There are thousands and thousands and thousands of halachos in the oral law, in the Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, this Rashi goes through it. What right did Hillel have to accept him? Habor lekabel chutz midover echad ein mekablin, I say. You're not allowed to accept in such a situation. Another point, the one that came and said, "Teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot." What is he? Is he making a joke? This is how he wants to become a ger. So you reject him. This is the type of converts. The other one comes and says, "I'll be a ger if I can become a kain godel." First of all, he cannot become a kain godel. But secondly, even if he could, it states that if someone comes to be megayer a shalei lishmo, if he has ulterior motives, then ain't mekablin, they say, you're not allowed to accept him. If a person comes and says, "I want to be megayer because I see Jews are so prosperous, or I see Jews are so well placed in the community," or they'll say, "I'm interested in that Jewish boy, I'm interested in that Jewish girl, and therefore I want to be megayer," the deen is we don't accept them. We're not allowed to accept them, because that's a gerish shalei lishma, that's a gerish for ulterior motives. They say they want to be a ger because they want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to come close to the Torah. That's something else. So this was a ger that was Shalei Lishma. So the din is you're not allowed to accept. So in all of these cases, Shammai was doing right. Not Hillel, Shammai was doing right. Shammai was 100% right. He drove them out. The fact is, the Meforshim tried to understand how Hillel bent the rules. Rashi asks, how did he accept them? So, we must learn from here that when the Gemara says that you shouldn't be a captain Kishamai, but you should be an on of Kilhilo, we're not speaking where the other person is a perfect tzaddik and a perfect gentleman. I will be a tzaddik and a gentleman to him. We're not speaking about that. There Shammai was the perfect gentleman. Shammai was the one who said, "Have you mekabelus kol adam b'sev upon him yofei," that you should accept everyone with a good welcome, with a warm welcome. You should be good to every person. That's what Shammai said. That's not tolerance. We're speaking where the law says that this person has no derech eretz. He has no derech eretz. And he has no seichel. And he's a boor. And he's an avarian. He's a rosho. He's a grub young in Yiddish. See. This is what we're speaking about. And it's not even covered, it's not even honor for the Nossi to get involved with someone like that. And Shammai was right. He said, this is how you must act. You must take a ruler, a stick, and drive him out. Still the Gemara says, La'elam havi onef kihilu v'lei kapten kishamai. Still the Gemara says, no. This was the greatness of Hillel. The greatness of Hillel was that he could deal with a rosho. He could deal with a boor. He could deal with an amoritz. He could deal with someone who was not b'derech eretz. He could deal with someone who was not had no seichel. With great kindness. With great tolerance. With great love. And he even knew how to bend the halacha for him. He knew how to mold the halacha for that person. And that's when afterwards they came together and they said, Kabdone shel Shammai bikesh litaranu min ha'ilu. It was the strictness of Shammai that almost drove us out of the world. But in v'sonais musay shel Hillel ke korveinu tachas hashkina. It was this humility and kindness and flexibility and tolerance of Hillel that brought us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Chiddush of the Gemara. This is what the Gemara is speaking about. From here we could see what kind of world we're living in today. Not only the general world, but we're talking of the Jewish world. How far Hillel would go in order that he shouldn't hurt someone. How far he would go, how far he would bend rules in order not to make machlekes. The Gemara brings in Masechta Erevin and Daf Yud Gimel Seif Amud Beis. The Gemara says like this. Says Shleishonim nechleku beishami u beishilo. The disciples of Shammai and the disciples of Hillel argued for 3 years as to who the halacha was like. Halacha kameseinu, v'halolo ma halacha kameseinu. There were, in many cases, there are many cases in the Mishnais where Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argued with each other in the halacha. And the disciples argued for 3 years afterwards, after their deaths. Who is the halacha like? Finally, Yotzev Baskel v'omru, a Baskel, a voice from heaven came down and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei chayim hein. Both is true. Whatever Beis Shammai said is perfectly true. There's no falsehood in it, in all of Shas. And whatever Beis Hillel said is perfectly true. They are all the words of the living God. But, but we must do like Beis Hillel. This is what the voice of heaven came down. So the Gemara asks, so if that's the case, that whatever both said is totally true, and it's the words of the living God, so then why was the halacha set that we determine the law like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai? Because they were nechin, because the quality, the midah of Beis Hillel was one of flexibility, and aluvin, Rashi says savlonim, and of great patience and understanding and tolerance. B'sheinim divrehen v'divrei Beis Shammai. And whenever they taught, the Gemara says, so the Hillel and the disciples of Hillel, who were like Hillel, they never said, this is the way we learned the halacha. No. They said, this is what our master Hillel says, and this is what our master Shammai says. They taught both versions. And not only that, but they even gave more honor to the words of Shammai. Like it states, it brings a mission in Sukkah, that it's a question if a sukkah is kosher or not. So the Omru Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, the disciples of Hillel said to the disciples of Shammai, didn't it occur that the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel came to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharenis, and they saw such and such a sukkah? So the disciples of Hillel were saying over an occurrence what took place. And what took place? That the elders of Shammai and the elders of Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan. Why did they say the elders of Shammai first? They should have said the elders of Hillel first. So not only when they taught did they teach both the teachings of Hillel and the teachings of Shammai, but they even gave more preference to the teaching, more honor to the teaching of Shammai. Yeah. Not only when they taught. If you have a big machlekes, in halacha. So some do this way and some do that way. Those that do one way, they're not going to tell you what the other said. And those that do the other is not going to tell you what this one said. No, that was not the Derech of Beis Hillel. If someone would ask, what is the law? They would say, the house of Shammai says this, and the house of Hillel says this. Not only were Sheinin as Divrehan, as Divrei Shammai, but Magdimin. At first they would say what Shammai said, and then they would say what Hillel said. This is why that they were zeicher that the halacha should always be like Beis Hillel. The Maral brings, what was the reason for this? Why? What does this have to do with the halacha? Because he says the halacha is always the perfection in the middle. Halacha comes from the word halicha. Al tikre halicha la halacha, al tikre halacha la halicha. And that means to walk. And halacha means how to walk straight. We want to know the final decision. We want to know what's straight. We don't want to know what's crooked. There's enough crooked things in the world.
Halach of Torah tells us what's straight. Straight is the middle. He says that can only come from a quality of understanding, of patience, of flexibility, to be able to adapt to every situation, every particular situation, of tolerance. Tolerance means that you examine every aspect of it, while the quality of kapdonos, where someone is rigid, is inflexible. That's an extreme. See, that's an extreme. See, if you find someone who's rigid, who's unbending, who's inflexible, that's an extreme. And that's far from the halacha. Therefore, when it came to the halacha, in this world, Hillel was greater. Both was said total true. Both were such greatness that we can never comprehend it. But when it comes to the halacha, that was Hillel. And the Gemara says this reason. Because they were nechim ba'aluvim. They were tolerant and they were patient and understanding, like we see from these cases. And they had respect for others. They had respect even from their greatest adversaries in halacha. And not only did they have respect, but they gave more respect to them than to themselves. So for this reason, the halacha was set like them. There's another Gemara. Gemara brings, this is a well-known Gemara. Gemara brings a Masechta Ksubos.
Perek Beis.
And of Tezayin, safe on the base. Gemara says, Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei HaKala. How do you dance in front of the color? What's the Gemara's question? What do you mean, how to dance in front of the color? Is the Gemara going to give us dancing instructions here? So Rashi says, no. Rashi says, Ma Emrim Lefoneho. We want to know that when you dance in front of the color, what do you say? Incidentally, this is interesting because there's another Gemara that says that the main mitzvah of Simchas Chosen V'Kala is to speak. Seems to speak. Because the old Litvish custom that they would always talk at Chasnas. They would speak. And they would say praises. Praises of the Chosen, praises of the Kala, praises of the families. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, the schar, the reward of Simchas Chosen V'Kala is to speak. So therefore, the Gemara wants to know, the mitzvah of dancing in front of the kala is not the dancing, it's the speaking. So it says, Ma Emrim Lefoneho, what should you say? Say, what should you say in front of the kala? So the Gemara says, Beshamay Emrim, in other words, what do you mean, what should you say? How should you praise them? That's the mitzvah, to praise the chosen v'kala and to make them happy. And to make the chosen happy what he's getting, and the kala's happy with what she's getting. So he says, Beishamai says, kala kamei shihi. You must praise the kala just as she is. Rashi says, lefi yechi v'chashivusai v'chashivusa mekalsineso. In accordance to her beauty, in accordance to her importance, in accordance to her stature. What Taisha says, what happens if she's not beautiful? Are you supposed to say that also? No, heaven forbid. Then Yishtaku, then be silent. And find something to praise her about. Yishabchuha bedover anoya. If she's beautiful, then you speak of her beauty. If she has great qualities and great character, you must speak of her character. If she comes from wonderful family, this you must speak of. What happens if she's not so beautiful? Find something to see. For example, if she has beautiful eyes or beautiful hands, then praise that. This is what Beis Shammai says. Beis Hillel Aymerim, Beis Hillel says, no, you say Kala Nove Chasuda. On every Kala, you say how beautiful they are, even if they're not beautiful. you say how good they are, even if they're not good. This is what you must say. Comes Beishamai, Omru lehen Beishamai le Beishilul. He says, Beishilul, Haresho Isa Higer Sasuma. What happens if heaven forbid, she's a cripple or she's blind? Are you going to say such a beautiful color and such a wonderful color and such a good color? But Teres Emes. How can you say lies? Says that you should midvar sheker tirchok. You should stay far away from a lie. Omru lehem beisilu lebeishamai. So beisilu said to Beishamai, he said, ledivreichem, according to you, mishalokach mekach ramin ashuk, somebody comes in with a new suit, and the suit is purple with red polka dots. See, it has a little orange in it. And he comes to you and he says, you like my new suit? See, and he's all happy about it. So Beishilu said to Beishamai, what will you tell him? Yishabchena beinov or yigarnena beinov? Are you going to tell him it's a nice suit or are you going to tell him it's awful? See, first you can ask him if he already bought it. But if he says he already bought it, are you going to tell him, are you going to tell him it's an awful suit or a good suit? Have you ever yishabchena beinov? You tell him it's a beautiful suit. So the same thing over here. Now, what does this mean? So the Beforshim explain. See, you have to look at it through his eyes, not through your eyes. Beisilu saying, if someone buys such a suit and he's happy with it, evidently to him it's beautiful. Otherwise, he wouldn't have bought it. So you have to look at it through his eyes, through his taste. If somebody comes to eat by you, and you like dry wine and he likes sweet wine, you can't only serve dry wine because you like it. You have to serve sweet wine because your guests like it. You have to look at it through their taste, through their eyes. So someone falls in love with such a suit, so you must tell them it's a beautiful suit. It's a beautiful suit and enjoy it. The same thing. If someone chooses such a color, so he must see that she's beautiful. So you say, Kala Nova Hasuda. She's a beautiful color, and she's a good color, and so forth and so on. See, this is what Beishilu answered Beishamai. The Gemara came, the later rabbis learned from this, they said from here we learn a great principle. From Beishilu we learn a great principle, because, Beishamai has a point. You're saying a lie. Safe call safe. In reality you're saying a lie. And the Torah says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So the Gemara comes along and says, from here we learn a great principle. Mikan Amru Chachamim, Le'elam De'idaiti Shalodem Me'ureves Im Abriyas. From here we learn that a person has to think not from his perspective, but from the other's perspective. From here we learn a great principle. Shammai is going at it from your perspective or the perspective of reality. It's not a nice suit. It's not a nice color. All right, don't insult him, but don't say anything then. But you can't say that it is. And Hillel says, no. You look at things in human relations and dealing with other people, you must not look at it from your eyes or from what is from the eyes of truth, but you must look at it from the other person's eyes. La'olam yehei daitoi mu'ureves im abrius. Rashi says, lasis ish kitzeinoi. You must not do what you think is good. You must do what the other person thinks is good. The Tosfos Reed says, Pirish lema dover hamiskabel afal pishe mesheker. That a Jew is obligated to say something which is well received by the other party, even though it's a lie. See? Lema dover hamiskabel afal pishe hu sheker. In human relations, You have to tell people what they want to hear through their ears, through their eyes, even though it's a lie. This was the meat of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron would come and he would give this guy a pack of lies. He would say, I saw your friend yesterday, and he's all upset. And he's crying and he's renting his clothes. Meanwhile, who knows what the guy is saying? He gave him a whole pack of lies. Before she bring that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so it states there was a great strife between Emesh and Sholem. How can you create a world that there won't be Emes? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, Shalom has to take priority. Shalom takes priority over Emes. So therefore, Mikan Omru Chachomim, from here we hear that you should say Dover Hamiskabel, something which is acceptable to your friend, Afal Pishu Sheker, even though it's false. This was the tolerance. Hillel told him, you want to be a Kain Godel? Good. I'll make you a Kain Godel. Come, we'll learn. Afal Pishu Sheker was a Sheker. This is what Shammai wouldn't tolerate. See? Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. Hillel told him, you want to learn the whole Torah on one foot? I'll teach you the whole Torah on one foot. This is the great individual that Hillel was, an Aaron. The Rambam brings in the mitzvah the after le'achukabeicho, that you shall love your man like love your friend like yourself. He brings the first point. He brings, this is in the Rambam in Perek Vov of Deis Halacha Gimel. He says, therefore you should always be mesaper b'shvoch. You should always praise him. Always praise. Question is, how can you always praise a person? Now here, if a person will look, you can always find good points in someone. If you have someone that you can't find any good points at all, you shouldn't quarrel with them, you should just not have anything to do with them. But generally in every Jew, you can find good points in him. If you look, you'll find. And if you look and find, then you find you can be misapet bishvochav, you can praise him. And this is what the Rambam brings us as the first step in the after the Yachakamaycho. And this is the very important in what we're speaking about. That a person has to be an Eiv Sholem, a Reidiv Sholem. He has to be Eiv Esabrius. He has to have a love for people. Love for Jews, umakavan latera. Now, as late, so we have to conclude. Let me just conclude with one little story. I mentioned this on Shabbos, and this brings out this point. Actually, this Chavetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Lavrocha. This was his personality. He had enormous love for people. He had enormous compassion for people. And wherever he went, he tried to make peace. He was misalek mina machlekes, he didn't want machlekes. And all his life he tried to bring Jews close to Torah. All his life. Everything he wrote, where he wrote dozens and dozens and dozens for him, he spent years and years and years writing. It was all for a certain goal, to bring Jews closer to Torah, in one area or another. So they bring the story that one time he was traveling and he was in an inn, and he saw there a big soldier. I don't know if he knew he was a soldier, but a strong person, a very strong person, a Jew. But He could see he was totally uneducated. And he was sitting and eating in the inn. And he was eating and drinking like a boor, without derech eretz. And he didn't wash or bench. And then he started to give gruff orders to the waitress in the inn. And he dealt with her in a very coarse manner. And the Chofetz Chaim was losing his patience over this. He was not happy with this at all. And finally he couldn't hold himself anymore. And he told the innkeeper, he says, I'm going over and I'm going to say something to this person. He says, I can't tolerate the situation anymore. He was bullying everyone around him and so forth. So the innkeeper was afraid that this is a boorish person, a coarse individual, that who knows what he could turn around and say to the Chofetz Chaim. And he didn't want the Chofetz Chaim to become insulted. So he said, leave him alone. He says, as a young boy, he was taken to the army. In those days, the Russian army used to take young people and young Jewish boys from their homes, age 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and they would send them up into the far-reaching areas of Russia and Siberia for 25 years. See, this was the conscription. So he was taken away from his home as a young boy, 8, 9 years old, and he's been in the army ever since, and he was always with Goyim and Cossacks and everyone else. So he knows nothing. He's an Amoritz, and he's a Einab Ederech Eretz. He's a grubber person. What do you want from him? Leave him alone. Don't talk to him. Leave him alone. This is what the innkeeper told the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim says, that's the case. He says, then for sure I'll talk to him. He says, I know how to talk to him. So he goes up to him and he says, I understand that as a young boy you were taken away and you've been separated from your home and family and from Yiddishkeit, and you've been together with Goyim all of these years. He says, I want to tell you that you're a great person. You're a great person. So the person looked up to him. I mean, here's an old rabbi coming to tell him. He couldn't understand, what does he want. He says, because there must have been tremendous pressure on you to baptize yourself. You know, people baptized themselves. They gave up their religions. Here you've been away from anything that was Jewish since you're a little boy, and still you hold yourself as a Jew for years and years and years. Now, for a person to grow up in a Jewish home and be Jewish, it's easy. But to grow up in the outskirts of Russia, amongst the Cossacks, and still be Jewish, and still hold on to your Yiddishkeit, and you have refused to give up your Jewishness, he says, you should know you're a great person, and I have great respect for you. And he said, I'll tell you something else now. He says, you never had a chance to learn, and you didn't have a chance where your father should teach you mitzvahs. You should know that if you'll do some learning now, and you'll keep some mitzvahs now, the portion in the world to come that you'll have, he says, everyone can be jealous of it. This is what he told him. And the man started to cry. And from then on, he held the Chofetz Chaim as his guide and tried to do whatever he would teach him. Now here you have a situation. This is Midosei Shel Aron HaKohen and Midosei Shel Hillel. It was a situation where, by all rights, he should have rebuked this person with Vorum Kosh, with hard words. And how could he take a situation like this and see good in it? But still, great people can see good in it. And they took the goodness, and from there they were a Makarev and Latera. This was the Imanusai Shel Hillel. This is the Midosai Shel Aron HaKohen. These were the Kahanim. There's a great deal that we can learn from this, especially in our times. We should be zeicher to see more of the Midos of Aron HaKohen and Hillel HaZoket.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.